The two young men in the rusting old Buick spoke little in the darkness, their faces barely outlined in the dashboard lights. The driver, bouncing the big car up the rutted mountain road uncomfortably fast, was particularly grim. He wanted this done with. This grimy business had become the only profession left to him, but he was not really happy in it. His companion, 3 years his junior but his functional superior, seemed unhappy only about the rough ride, blasé about what was to come, if not actually looking forward to it. He gripped the top of the dashboard, enduring their jarring, jouncing progress up the slope with clenched teeth and occasional profanity, uttered in French, but with the sang-froid, as he must view it, of a veteran going into battle. Down to their left, far, far down the mountain slope, was California Highway 1, and just beyond, the cliffs that fell to the breaking surf of the Pacific Ocean. Far behind them now, its lights occasionally flickering in the rearview mirror, was the faded little town of Davenport, a one-time whale-watching resort with a small organic food restaurant, a lonely, usually fog-bound Coast Guard station, and a defunct cement plant. The two men in the ramshackle Buick had little to fear from witnesses. There was a thump from the rear of the car.
"Merde," said the other.
"I did not tie her well enough,"
said his driver.
"Maybe they are suffocating back there."
"Only a few minutes more," said the other. "Viento."
After a steep turn, they were there. Too soon for the driver. He pulled the car to a grinding stop in a clearing that suddenly appeared on their right, then killed the engine and sat behind the wheel a moment, breathing in sighs. There was another thump from the trunk.
"Pour la patrie," said the other.
"Bien,"
said the driver. He sighed again and opened the door. From the back seat, the other man pulled forth a pump shotgun and hurried to the rear, demanding the keys from the driver and opening the trunk. The woman, bound and gagged, sat straight up, her dark hair a wild tangle, her eyes both angry and terrified. The man, utterly drunk, was snoring. Lifting and pulling them out one by one, the young men dragged each up the trail. They could hear the Pacific waves breaking distantly against the rocks. They set the drunken man up against a tree. He briefly opened his bleary eyes, but it was a pointless residual function. An instant later, the youth fired his shotgun directly at the man's head.
"Now's a woman," he said, pulling the slide on the shotgun.
The ejected shell fell with a ping onto the ground. The new shell rammed home with a decisive click. They had left the woman kneeling, watching everything, her eyes bulging.
"Her clothes," said the driver. "N'oublie pas le script."
"More than the script," said the other. "It is not enough to look like the others. It must be like the others."
"Alan, no. Mais oui, certainement."
"Merde.
Regarde."
The younger man set down his shotgun and stepped in front of the woman, unbuckling his belt and slipping off his trousers. Then he knelt and pulled off her skirt and underwear. She began thrashing about, but he quieted her by striking her twice in the jaw. He flung himself onto her, and into her, and in a very short time was done.
"A rape,"
he said, standing and pulling up his trousers. When he picked up his shotgun, the driver looked away. He could hear her faint, muffled scream just before the explosive gunshot.
"Eh, voila,"
said the younger man, amidst the echoes and trailing smoke.
"Maintenant, let's go."
"No, no, no, in the trunk, get her purse."
The driver did so. The younger man dumped the contents onto the ground by her body, then dropped it into the dirt.